And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
One Christmas Eve, a man announces to his family that he is not going to go to church with them that night. He's attended faithfully all these years, but he's finally gotten to the point where he really doesn't see any point to it. Sure, the music is pretty, but he can turn on his stereo and hear even more gorgeous sounds to delight the ear. And besides that, all Christmas seems to be anymore is about shopping and spending and partying. Nobody really takes the religious element seriously nowadays. In fact, he himself doesn't know if he can really buy into this so-called true meaning of Christmas. Are we actually supposed to believe that God himself would become a helpless little babe who couldn't even get a hotel room? Educated people know that all this about Jesus being God was really just made up by the early church. What would be the point of it anyway? And how could you fit all of God, the creator and sustainer of the universe, into one little baby? That's right, Jesus was just a nice man with some great ideas about peace and love, no different from Buddha or Gandhi or Florence Nightingale or anyone else. I don't go to church on their birthday, so why should I go on Jesus's? So the man bids adieu to his family and sends them out into the snow on a cold winter's night, and he sits down in his big, warm, lazy boy. He picks up the latest Dan Brown novel, and he turns the radio on to the King's College Chapel lessons and carols. He doesn't want it too loud, though. He just wants a nice little pretty background music. And just as he's getting into the book, he hears a thump at the window. And he looks up to see a little bird on the windowsill. She's seen the light in his den, and she's seeking sanctuary from the blistering winter storm. But you know, birds don't really understand glass. So she keeps knocking her body against the pane, trying to get into this refuge that's before her. Well, the man's moved by this pitiful sight. He'd open up the window and let her in, but it's painted shut. And besides that, his wife would kill him for letting a wild creature into her nice, clean home. But he has an idea. His wife wouldn't be too upset if the bird accidentally got into the garage. And that happens every so often, and the birds just hang tight until they can actually escape. And it's warm enough in there, so the bird will be a whole lot better off, at least there, than outside. So he goes downstairs and opens up the side door to the garage and punches the button to open up the garage door, and he turns on the light, figuring that the bird won't have any trouble finding its way in, and he goes back to his den in the Dan Brown book. But the bird doesn't see it. She doesn't see this opportunity for salvation that's been offered her. She's still crashing her body into the windowpane, trying to get into the house. So the man starts gesturing to her, waving his arms and shouting, "No, over there, go down into the garage." But he gets so frantic that he only succeeds in confusing the bird even more. By this time, the bird is pretty badly bruised and bloodied. The man realizes that after much more of this, she doesn't stand a chance. She's either going to beat herself to death, or she's going to weaken her body so badly that she won't be strong enough to weather the storm. Now, the man doesn't usually get sentimental, but the plight of this bird has really touched him. He's distraught that he can't help this bird to find shelter, and he can't bear to think of her dying right before his eyes. He considers his options, and the thought comes into his mind. If only he could become a bird like her. He could fly beside her, beside that poor wounded bird, and communicate to her in bird language. He could squeak, "No, no, you'll never get in that way. Follow me to safety." If only he himself could become a bird, he could save her. At that moment, he realizes exactly why his family has gone to church to celebrate. Not the birth of some wise teacher of philosophy, not just some leader of a popular uprising centuries before, but the coming into the world of its own creator. For in that moment, he sees the actual true meaning of Christmas, that in order to save us, to show us the way to spiritual safety and salvation, God himself looked down upon our plight and said, I will become one of them. So the man throws on his overcoat. He rushes down into the garage and he jumps into the car and cranks up the engine. This revelation has so captivated him that he has momentarily forgotten what brought it about, the dilemma of the little bird. And in a split second, he lifts up his head and looks into the rearview mirror and sees the garage door wide open. And he remembers that bird. And just as he does, what does he see fluttering in? But that tiny little winged creature, that messenger from God that without any words has restored his faith. The sound of the car's motor finally has gotten the bird's attention. And she flaps her way in, still worn out from her ordeal. She alights on the hood of the car, right in front of the driver's seat. And she gazes up at him, no longer frantic and desperate, but now filled with calm and peace. And seeing that sparkle in her eyes, he says a simple thank you to her creator and to his. And a moment later, the bird bounds off and takes her perch up into the rafters until it's safe to venture out. It's as if she has said to him, she's given him permission, you've gotten the point, now go where you need to be. So he whips out of the garage, headed for the church and for his family. And once he gets there, he comes in, and the deacon is already halfway through the gospel, just what we heard a few moments ago, that prologue to St. John that begins, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. In fact, he's only made it for the last few verses of the gospel, but in the light of what he's experienced, they speak more eloquently to him than anything else he has ever heard. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word, God himself, the second person of the Trinity, who's co-equal with the Father, was made flesh to save us from our destruction and to lead us to everlasting life, to make us sons of God. The Lord of creation became his most cherished part of that creation. And what greater joy can we have than to know his boundless love that was so moved by our plight that he gave himself to make it right. No more powerful message could we hear to warm the cold of our frozen souls than those glorious words we heard today. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed, as is most justly due all might, majesty, dominion, power, and glory, world without end. Amen.